having read Castle, the story of a Kentucky prison, the first thing that struck me about your book is how it seems to be almost a kind of memoir and not just a straight recounting of the Edible Penitentiary's history, especially since you focus on the 1923 prison riot that took the life of Hodge Cunningham. Now, I'm sure our listeners will deduce that his last name and yours being the same is probably not a coincidence. So could you tell us about Hodge Cunningham?
Hodge Cunningham was my grandfather's first cousin. I thought a book on the penitentiary would be interesting. My wife said nobody wants to read about an old penitentiary, so I just kind of collected data and things from it. Until Mitch, his son and I got together, and we made he wanted me to get him a tour through there. We made the tour through there, and he started recounting his perspective as a small boy about all that happened. And that was an emotional and family pull for me that kind of motivated me to write the book. You know, Todd, I came within 200 yards of being born in that prison. And then I grew up there, and it was very familiar to me. I was asked the question just the other day, what would I account for my fascination with it? It was because I was there. And I basically said fascination may not be the right word. If you drive by that prison or you go by it in a boat out in the lake, you're fascinated by it. But I think it's more intimate. I mean, more familiar. I think to be totally fascinated by it, there's a certain amount of unknown. So it became very familiar to me, and it is a fascinating place. So,
well, can you talk a bit about how the prison came to Edible?
Well, that's an interesting story that I recount in the book, Castle. The prison in Frankfort was overcrowded and under terrible conditions. And Governor Blackburn, who was governor at that time in the mid to late 1800s, he was a Confederate veteran, and he lived right across the street from that old Frankfort prison. And there were people dying in droves, and he was packing them out of there. And he was a doctor by profession. He was very compassionate, and he said, we need to relieve this prison of some of its overcrowding and some of its terrible conditions. We need to build a branch penitentiary. So the legislature awarded the fund, and they started looking for a place for it. And they looked out to far west Kentucky, and I'm not really sure why they looked to far west Kentucky unless it was the political pull for another former Confederate officer, Highland B. Lyon of Lyon County, and he was appointed to be one of three commissioners to find a location. Well, he found the location right in his backyard, practically. And at that time, it was a very attractive target, industrial target for this rural area and this out west, because you know, it would employ jobs and all that. And the fiscal court of Lyon County pitched in, and actually Lyon County competed with Eddyville, and Lyon County competed with Bowling Green and for that position, and Eddyville won it primarily probably because Highland B. Lyon, one of the three commissioners, and the governor were close. Another consideration may very well have been that this area was considered to be kind of remote enough, kind of a penal colony. No, we're sending them out west, out of sight, out of mind. And I think that was probably one of the reasons why Edible won that contest. That's how I got to Edible.
It's interesting, though, to think that the mindset in Frankfort could have compared Western Kentucky to Australia almost, of being that far.
Yeah, probably. And, you know, although for many, many years, up until relatively recent times, of course, it was called the Branch Penitentiary at first, and then it lost that name, Branch. And then in 1937, when they closed the Frankfort prison down completely after the 1937 flood, and built another prison up at LaGrange, it was just called the prison. And, of course, it's always been the maximum security prison, and it's also been the only site for legal executions.
Well, let me ask you about the impact on Edible and Lyon County. I mean, obviously, beyond the economic impact, because, as you mentioned earlier, it has brought jobs to the region, but has it had a kind of a larger impact?
Well, you know, the prison, Todd, it's a good neighbor. It's been a good, the Department of Corrections has been an excellent neighbor over the years when you consider what their mission was to house the, some of the meanest and criminals in the state right there in your mid, right, I'm talking about right in the middle. I mean, in Old Eddyville before the lake, it was smack dab in the middle of town. I walked past it every day walking to school. And to have that kind of mission with the potential for so much bad to happen, and they've done a wonderful job in maintaining the mission safely with the community. And the community has been, no question about it, the Lyon County and Eddyville have been blessed by the penitentiary being there, and not only economic assistance, of course, nothing compared to some other type of industry, but there's been an interrelationship with the town and the inmates, which the benefit's been reciprocal because, you know, back in the times when the Eddyville flooded, times that we had dire need for manpower, the prisoners were turned loose. There's still prisoners out working in the community. In fact, we've had instances where prisoners were running the water plant. So there's been a kind of an interdependency. And, it's been we help them and they help us. It's been a good relationship.
I want to go back to one of the instances where things were not so good. I mean, it stands out primarily, at least from my impression, because it was very rare, and that was the 1923 prison riot where Hodge Cunningham was killed, and it picked up the nickname of the Battle of Eddyville. And could you talk about what happened there?
Well, you know, those are pretty rough time, 1920s. That was 100 years ago, almost, and times were a lot different than they are now. The standard of living wasn't what it is now, and that all evolved with an inmate by the name of Monty Tex Walters. He was out of Iowa, but him and two of his Confederates, Harry Ferlin and Griffith, they had a gun smuggled in by Tex Walters' wife and wreaked havoc. They were going to shoot their way out, and some very courageous correctional officers, including, of course, Hodge Cunningham, kept that from happening. But once they were thwarted from making it through the last gate, they still were armed and being pursued, so they barricaded themselves in the upper floor of the old dining hall, which was located right there in the middle of the yard, and they held off prison guards and pretty much the state militia or the National Guard for two or three days until it became of interest to it took on national wide interest and was covered in many newspapers until the dramatic ending. Pretty bloody outcome of that, with three prisoners and three guards being killed.
Is there any particular part of the whole story about the Kentucky State Penitentiary that you're planning to focus on when you speak at McCracken County Public Library?
I probably will go over the history of it, which tells a lot about the times and also about the great statesmanship that went on to get that done. I'll hit upon some of the more interesting executions. There was some really, you know, the Kentucky State Penitentiary, I think it was 1927. It was Friday, July the 13th. Still holds the record for the most legal executions one day. I mean, incredible. Seven people were executed. I'll probably hit up on that. I got a call one time from a historian in Berlin, Germany. Apparently, he was studying the world record for legal executions, not in wartime and all that. Some of the escapes, Todd, are just absolutely incredible. And I happen to have been blessed to have been involved, having firsthand knowledge of the most incredible escape in that prison, as far as just outright physical ability to escape on the Don Tate escape. It's extremely incredible. In fact, they were getting ready to make a movie of it, and then Don was out on parole and got into some more trouble and kind of dissipated. But I'll hit on that, escapes. And I had a question from someone about, you know, my source for all this, and it actually wasn't it didn't come from books. It came primarily from newspaper articles, artifacts, data that's collected in the archives in Frankfurt. And a lot of it came from stories that old guards told me, and several of those experiences were actually, I was actually involved in it as a public defender or a prosecutor or even a circuit judge.
Hmm. Well, you were remarkably well-positioned to tell the story.
Right. Hmm.
Bill Cunningham is Kentucky Supreme Court Justice for Kentucky's 1st Supreme Court District and is the author of 6 books on regional history, including Castle, The Story of a Kentucky Prison. He'll be speaking Thursday, September 8th at 7 p.m. at the McCracken County Public Library Evenings Upstairs program. Justice Cunningham, I do thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Todd, thanks for your interest in this, and I thank you for your good work over there. You'll do a great service.